pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. And I want to look at that last verse with God's help, and we're going to go over these others just briefly. But we do need the help of the Lord tonight, and you may be seated. I want to think about this and on this line. You know that real Christians are God-made Christians. And God makes us what we are. But God can only make us and mold us as we allow Him to work in our life and as we allow God's Word to be applied in our life. Jesus said in verse 43, He said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you," he says, you know, he gives us a different principle here. He says, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you." I want to look tonight at character, a word character, and what is made up in character. You know, we come through a time just in these past few years where that we've seen many of our politicians fail. We've seen them fail their families, and they failed in their duty and in their job. And many people have come back and say the character of that individual and the private life of that individual isn't important. But you know, I began to think a little bit about that. You know, if a man that is in a public office or a man that holds any position, if he can't be true to his marriage vows and to his family, and if he cheats on them, he'll cheat on you and me as well. And you know, it's the same way in the Christian life. And character is something that we all need in our life. I'm just going to take my time tonight and look at these. But you know, Jesus said that we need to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. I want to read you something. One writer said, "It is the life that counts." And this writer says, "If we would show decision for the truth, we must not only do so by our tone and manner, but by our daily actions." It says a man's life is always more forcible than his speech. When men take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as pounds and words as pence or as money. He said if his life and his doctrine disagree, he said the mass of lookers on accept his practice and reject his preaching. And this writer says we must show our decision for the truth by the sacrifices which we are ready to make. And you know, that writer's says a lot of truth there. You know, we need to back up what we say by what we do. But you know, when you think of character, there's three words that I want to look at first tonight: identity, personality, and quality. And you know, identity. And as I looked at this word and began to think of this, I thought, you know, this is how others see us, how others identify us and know us. And let me just read what I've got here. It has to do with our general appearance. And I thought, are we neat or sloppy? Are we clean or dirty? You know, do we smell pleasant or offensive? And you know, some are short while others are tall. And you know, some things about our identity we cannot change. But you know what we can change to better promote the cause of Christ, then we ought to be willing to change those things in our life. And you know, identity plays a great part in our character. Another word is our personality. And personality has to do with our actions in general. You know, you think about personalities, you know, others know us by our actions, our deeds, our words, and our habits. And you know, I began to think of this and began to think of some things about different personalities. I thought, are we a pleasant individual? You know, is our life pleasant? Are we known for being pleasant? Are we one that is quiet? And are we one that is kind and gentle and humble? You know, we need to look at our life and we need to look at the character that we are and see what God wants us to be. And I thought, perhaps like so many, that are we one that is proud, or are we one that is boastful? Are we one that is nasty and mean? You know, some people go through life and their personality, they're known for, the actions that they act out in their life. I thought some are loud with uncontrolled emotions, as Sister Kelly talked about the emotions on Wednesday. I thought the way a person acts says much about who that person really is. Character does matter in the Christian life, and character matters in every life. And our life needs to be above reproach as Christians. Then the next word is the quality of our life. Are we an individual that sets real goals in our life to effect changes where they are needed? Do we see in our life where we need to change and be better as Christians, or maybe change things in our life that are displeasing to God? Do we set goals, and are we willing to make those changes to improve the quality of our life? I thought, are we willing to make those changes to be a better Christian as we're going through this life, or to be a better example, to be a better leader to those that God has placed within our reach? You see, it's not that we lead from the pulpit or we lead from a Sunday school room, but we lead wherever God has placed us. And are we the leader that God wants us to be wherever that we are? That's a part of our life that is a quality that should be a good quality in our life. Some could care less. Some really don't care what they do and how they act or the quality of their life. Some will not seek to improve on the quality of their life. And the reason is that many times we're too proud to admit that we need to change and we need to move up. But we need to examine our life in the light of the gospel and the example that God sets for us in His Word. I thought, don't be caught with this type of thinking, that kind that says, I won't change, I'm not going to change. I thought whenever and wherever that you and I can make the difference in our behavior to improve with positive advancements in our life, that we can be sure that it will always have a direct effect on all those that we deal with in this life. And the quality of our life will be projected to those around us. We need to say, Lord, help me to be better. Help me, Lord, to do better. Help me to be the Christian and the person that God wants me to be as I'm going through this life. First of all, I'd like to look at the Father and the Son are the primary models for our life as Christians. We need to have somebody that we model our life after. Many are modeling their life after Hollywood, after celebrities, after just about every one that comes along. But Jesus said this. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. One writer said, this is the character that is desirable in our life, that we look to God for the example that God wants us to be. There's not a one of us that can achieve perfection in our life, but we need to pursue something in our life. We need to say that I can be a better Christian. I can be a better person. I can be a better individual. I can be a better husband. I can be a better wife. I can be a better mother or father and I can be a better individual as I'm going through this life. As Jesus is saying, be ye therefore perfect. One writer puts it this way. He said, grow into complete maturity of godliness in mind and in character. We need to improve in our life every day. We just can't stay where we are and never move forward for the Lord. Every day in our life, we ought to be getting nearer and closer to the Lord. Peter put it this way, and coming from God's Word, at the model and the goals that we need to set in our life, he said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know, as Peter's saying this, he's saying there's everything that we need to achieve these things in our life. God has given us that, and God has made those things available to you and me. And you know, we can do better if we choose to. We can do better if we want to. The thing is, many times we just don't care to do any better. But he says we do this through the knowledge of him that called us unto the glory and virtue. And listen what Peter goes on to say. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, he said, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You know, we can do better if God's involved and God is included and God is a part of our life. You know, there's no reason for failure. There's no reason and no excuse for us to say that I cannot do better when we choose to follow the Word of God and we choose to let God and Jesus be the example in our life, and we say that this is my goal. This is what I want to do. And you know, maybe we ought to say that 6 months from now, if the Lord tarries and nothing happens, I don't want to be the same Christian that I am, but I want to be a better person. I want my character and my personality, my quality of life, I want this to improve and Jesus to be the part of my life that he needs to be. But you know, he said, Peter goes on, said, we are partakers of this divine knowledge. He said, we've escaped the corruption, the moral decay that is in the world. And you know, I thought this is what we ought to do. We ought to set some positive goals for our life and say that, you know, I'm going to do better. I'm going to be the Christian that God wants me to be. But Peter said, this is what it's going to take. He said, beside this, giving all diligence. He said, you know what he's saying? We need to make every effort to add some things to our life. He said, first of all, we ought to add to our faith virtue, and virtue is goodness. And one writer said, what virtue means is moral excellence. You know, we ought to say that I can excel in the morality that God wants in my life. I can have the goodness of God. I can be good to please God in my life. And we can, he said, to that add to the virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And you know, the list goes on. And he said, this is what we ought to do in our life. Jesus said, be ye they perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He would never have told us to set goals in our life if they couldn't be achieved. But Jesus knows that we can do better. The fact is that we need to convince ourselves that we can do better. We can be better for the Lord. We don't do it to improve our image so that others look at us, but that when they do look at us, that they see what Jesus Christ is doing in our life, and they can see the changes that take place every day. We can't change one day and say, this is what I'm going to be today, but tomorrow I just don't feel like it. We need to be the same every day. I hear so many say that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, we can't stay at the same level, but let's move up in the Lord and let Jesus help us to achieve the moral excellence that needs to be in every Christian's life. We can do this with God's help. You know, I thought that we need to let this be our life's pursuit. It's not just a one-day thing. It's not just a week or a month thing, but it's something that we have to pursue every day day of our life while we are on this earth. And this is what Paul told the Ephesians. He said, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And listen what he says, unto a perfect man. Now, once again, this doesn't mean that we never make mistakes. But what Paul is saying, we come to where as men and women in the Lord, we reach a mature manhood in our life. We become mature individuals and we set that standard by Jesus. That standard has to measure up to Jesus, not to Hollywood, not to any other individual. You know, we ought to have good role models in our church and we ought to have good examples in the church. But if those role models and those examples are not following Jesus Christ, then we ought to leave them alone. Let's know what Jesus wants in our life. Let us know tonight that the Lord is looking in our life for changes and for excellence in our life, that we can move up and be better Christians for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible goes on to say, Paul said, we come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or unto the standard that God sets. And you know, I thought, until we become more and more like Jesus with each passing day in our life. You see, we've got to get out of self and we've got to step over into the spirit world and we've got to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We can no longer even follow in our own footsteps. Oh, you know, we need to look to Jesus and say, every day I want to be more like Him. I want to be what He wants me to be. You know, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, or learn from me. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, as I read that verse and thinking about this being our life pursuit, I thought we need to make a determined effort to know all that we can about the one that we are to be like. You know, we need to get in the scriptures and search out what the Word says about this man Jesus, so that we can be more like Him. You know, I thought, what is the model that God has provided for us to be like? You know, I thought it is one that will require this lifetime pursuit. Paul said in Philippians, he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but he said, I'm going to follow after. What he's saying, I'm going to pursue this in my life. He said, that if I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And then Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to reach that place in the Lord. You know, we need to admit our failures, our shortcomings, and then we need to say what I'm going to do. And Paul would say, I'm going to forget those things that are behind. We can't live in our failures. We can't live in the past. But sometimes as we fail going through this life, we need to lay that failure down and stand determined in our life that it will never happen again by the grace of God. And we're going to reach out to those things that are before us, those goals that we set in our life. You know, I thought we can't let that past be something we dwell on. It will hinder our progress. We can't sit around and feel sorry for ourselves and say, I want somebody to pity me. By God, we ought to be ashamed when we fail the Lord and say, Lord, by your grace, would you forgive me? And I want to do better. I want to be better. Praise God, not let failure hinder us, but let it be a stepping stone. Climb upon those failures and say, they are forever under my feet and forever behind me, and I will have victory in Jesus. Oh, you know, this life and that God wants us to be in, the character that He wants to build in our life, it must be a pursuit to live a holy life. You know, we need to be determined in our life that we're going to live holy. You know, just very briefly, Paul or Peter said, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You know, just a few years ago, they come out with these little trinkets with the letters on it that would say, "What would Jesus do?" You know, we ought to ask ourselves that. That's a good question. When we begin to get beside ourselves and we begin to get out of the way of God, we need to ask ourselves, is this what Jesus would do? Is this how Jesus would behave? Is this what God wants me to be? And then be honest with ourselves. And when we know that it's not what God wants, we ought to say, "Lord, help me to do better." Praise God, to go on and to reach out, to reach and achieve this excellence in our life. We are children of a King. There is royal blood that flows in our vein. We ought to be better than what the devil would want us to do. He would intimidate us and push us and to get us to do what we feel like doing apart from God. But we ought to say, "No, devil, I'm going to do what I can to please this wonderful Savior that I'm serving." Oh, you know, it must be a pursuit for spiritual maturity in our life. I want to read you part of what someone said. Said, "We can't achieve Christ-like character and holy living all at once." You know, sometimes people say, "I'm going to get saved and all of a sudden I ought to be grown up." You know, the Bible said when we get saved, we're babes in Christ. But you know, we ought to pass on past that stage. He goes on, said, "But we must grow toward maturity and wholeness." And this writer said, "Just as we expect different behavior from a baby and different behavior from a child and different behavior from a teenager and different behavior of an adult." You know, this writer said God expects different behavior from each of us depending on our stage of development. No, if we've been serving God for years, then we ought to be past the baby stage tonight. We ought to be past the child stage. You know, we ought to maybe even be past the teenage stage, and we ought to be entering into adulthood in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Praise God, to be mature men and women in the Lord and to be able to stand that others can look at us and they don't see a childlike Christian, but they see someone that has made some progress in their life. Oh, hallelujah. You know, and this is what Paul said. And this is the way Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 13:11. He said, "When I was a child..." You know, he's relating here to about childhood. He said, "I spake as a child." Or what he's saying here is, when I was a child, I talked like a child. You know, I talked as a child would talk. And then he said, "I understood as a child." You know, he said, "I thought as a child would think." You know, I don't know about you, but when I was a child, I used to think about getting out and playing and running and doing things that had nothing to do with adulthood. And then he goes on to say that, you know, he understood as a child. And then he said, "I thought," which he means I reasoned as a child. You know, I'd make decisions like a child would make. But then Paul says this, he said, "But when," you know, there's a time in our life when we need to reach that point where we get to that place, as Paul says, "But when will we change? When will we be willing to do like Paul's did and recognize, as he said, "When I became a man, I put away the childish things." You know, it doesn't say here that when I became a man that God took it away. But Paul said, "When I became a man, I realized that there were some things that I had to put away in my life. There's some things that I'd never have to go back and shouldn't go back and pick up." Thank God, let us be men and women for Jesus. God is looking for some that can stand up tall and strong in this time that we're living in. You know, as I was thinking about that, I thought, as we grow and become mature Christians, God expects us to behave as adults, no longer as children. You know, Paul says here, and I just mentioned this, that he put away these things. God didn't take them away. You know, the character of a mature Christian, when maturity begins to enter in, it begins to identify those childlike characteristics. And it begins to realize that these don't belong in the life of a mature Christian. These things don't belong there. But what we need is we need to be mature. The model that Jesus gives us was set in love for others. You know, this model includes the love of God. And the Bible says that Jesus, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. You know, our love has to be a maturing love, a mature love, and one that endures. You know, love will suffer long, and it endures a lot as it goes through this life. And our love must be like that. You know, we just can't love 1 minute and be mad and angry the next. My God, we ought to have more of God's love within us, and we ought to love the way that Jesus loved. You know, he even had those that would come up to him and walk away. And you know, would just walk away from him. But the Bible said Jesus, beholding him, loved him. You know, Jesus loved his disciples to the very end. You know, the marvelous thing is, he still loves us tonight. And he still cares for us tonight. You know, this is the model that he wants. Number two, the desirable character that we need to be molded by is by God's standard, not by the standards of men. You know, sometimes we spend many hours. You know, a lot of people spend hours getting ready to go out in the world so that people can look at them and see them. You know, it used to be that the ladies would stand before the mirrors and they'd curl their hair and do all of these things and get ready to go out and be presentable. We ought to be presentable, but my Lord, you know, it's more than what we see on the outside. You know, we need to be presentable inside and out. You know, we can get up and we can start out on the day and we can spend hours getting ready to go out, and just one bit of our mood change can just kind of blow it all, and we lose every bit of influence. But you know, the Bible talks about David when God was about to have Samuel anoint David. Listen what it says in 1 Samuel 16. And called Jesse is what, you know, God said to Samuel, call Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show thee what thou shalt do. He said, thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. You know, it goes on to say, Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and he came to Bethlehem. When he came to Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. And he said, sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. And said, it came to pass when they were come, you know, that he looked on Eliab. You know, this was the eldest son of Jesse. And he looked upon this man, Eliab, this handsome guy, and he said, surely the Lord's anointing is before me. And you know, as he began to look and he began to judge this man by his appearance, and you know, one writer said perhaps what Samuel's problem was is that he remembers that Saul, the first king of Israel, was tall and handsome, stood high and tall above everyone else. And when old Samuel looked and he began to look at this son Eliab, he said, surely or certainly this has got to be the one the Lord wants. He said, the Lord's anointed is before me. But you know, God would say something to him. God would say and said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. He said, for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You know, I want to read you this. Appearance doesn't reveal what people really are in their true value. You know, when you look at somebody, we ought to have the good appearance that pleases
pleases God. But the appearances sometimes can be deceiving. I've seen those that look to be Christians and have all the appearance on the outside of a Christian, but their hearts are far from God. You see, God can see as a man doesn't see. He said Samuel was judging by what he saw. You know why everyone can see your face? This writer said, why everyone can see your face? Only you and God know what your heart really looks like tonight. I can't see in your heart, but God can see tonight. God is looking into every heart, into every thought at this very moment, and He knows what's within us tonight.
You know, the desirable character is not set by the standards of this world. You know, we see those that they're promoting many things to us today. And you know, sometimes I heard Brother Roger talking about whoever that was and have the people flocking after that individual. You know, what if somebody... Yeah, I don't know if any of you saw this woman that had on the news a while back. And she was on one of these shows and she could sing. And when they showed her appearance, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but everybody looked at her and she really looked homely and they couldn't believe this woman had a voice like this. And you know, some of them didn't like that fact. You know, sometimes because someone's appearance doesn't appeal to us doesn't mean that God isn't in their heart. You see, it is God that is in the heart. It is God that sees what your intentions are. It is God that knows what your desires are, your ambitions tonight. God knows everything. God knows every thought. And you know, our character ought to be reflected. The outside ought to be reflected by what's on the inside. And you know, old Samuel looked. And God said, don't look on him for that appearance. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And the Lord said, you know, or and Samuel said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And he caused all of his sons to pass by. All but one son that wasn't there. And you know, and Samuel said to Jesse, he said, are all thy children here? Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. You know, sometimes we look upon youth and young people as being useless to God. But you know why these others were there parading, and they probably got their, if they had Sunday best or whatever they had in those days. And they're all parading right there before Samuel, and they're just strutting their stuff, and you know, they're there, and here's little old David, the shepherd boy, back there being faithful to what he's supposed to be doing, while these others are parading. I'd rather have somebody in a shepherd's outfit, praise God, that is faithful to God, than somebody that can dress up and have all the best garments to put on. We'd be better to have those that are faithful to the Lord. And he said, there's yet that youngest back there. And Samuel said, you go get him. We're not going to sit down and have any meal or anything until he gets here. And when he came, the Bible says he sat and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and that means he had red hair. You know, he had, and here's this little red-haired boy coming in. And he was with all of a beautiful countenance, you know, fair-skinned. And he was goodly to look upon. He was fine-looking. But it wasn't because of the garments he had on. It was because of what he had in his heart that he was shining out. You know, the Bible says that the Lord will beautify the meek with salvation. And oh, you know, when we got the salvation of the Lord in our heart, it's going to shine out right here first of all. Praise God. You know, we can be decent in blue jeans. Praise God, us men and ladies. You don't have to have the best dress with all the flower patterns to be beautiful. Let the Lord beautify you. Hallelujah. Let the joy of the Lord shine through your life. Let it be a part of your character. Let it be
be a part of what people see. When you're walking down the street, when you're on the job, when you're at home, let that character of the Lord, that divine nature, shine out within your life. Hallelujah. And then you know the right, how this right character is developed. You know, through the challenges we face in life, we find that God develops character. The way we take things and the way that things come to us, the way we respond is sometimes how that God builds our character. You know, the story is told about Abraham. One day the Bible said the Lord would tempt Abraham or test Abraham. And God called Abraham to take his only son, you know, the only son of promise that he had, and take him over to Mount Moriah. And then when he gets over there, to take and sacrifice his son upon the altar as a sacrifice to God. And you know, you don't find Abraham complaining about it. You don't find him saying, well, Lord, isn't there something else I can do? But you find him picking up and packing up everything and making a 3-day journey. Let me tell you something. The things that we go through in this life will either make us or break us. We've got to learn to trust in the Lord as we go through this life. We've got to learn that it's not just in the big things, but it's in the little things. You see, it's not the big things that trip us up. It's the little things that pull us down and cause us to lose our victory in Jesus. And for 3 days, Abraham would travel. For 3 days, he'd had this on his mind, that when I get over to Mount Moriah, I'm going to have to take my son and take him up there, and God wants me to offer him upon the altar as a sacrifice. But he was willing to do it. One writer said what God was doing is he's stretching Abraham to see how strong the material is. You see, sometimes God might stretch us by the trials, but what it does, it strengthens the fibers of that material. When God stretches us, let's be stronger when all the stretching is over. Let the Lord give us strength. Let the Lord help us. You know, don't look at these things and say, oh, you know, God's picking on me. Somebody's picking on me. You know, that goes back to what Paul said. I hate to hear people running around and you know, they sound like children about this big. When little ones come to you, and you know, we didn't have two or three, but you know how they are. One will come to mom and dad and say, oh, you're not being fair to me. Isn't that a baby attitude? A childish attitude? I want to tell you something, and we need to realize that this life isn't fair, but God is just and fair to everybody. Life won't be fair. Your car is going to break down. You know, people's going to get mad at you. You're going to get sick at times, and you're going to have problems come your way at times. But have you ever thought that maybe God is trying to build our character, and God is trying to bring something good out of what we're going through? Instead of sitting back feeling sorry and say, oh, it hurts, and it does hurt at times, but my Lord, we ought to get a smile on our face and say, I'm going to make it with the help of the Lord. Sit in that emergency room for 6 hours. Some of you probably done these things. We sat there for about 6 hours, and you know, we just got to the point, as I said, we began to count the drops of falling. We found something to do. We didn't complain about it. You see, she was getting some help in her body, and I'm not going to complain when God provides some way, praise God, of doing something good in our life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know, we come out a little better. I hope we left that nurse with a little something to pass some time when days get long for her. Got up out of the chair and you know, Sister Bear, you know, I don't want to add to what she's going through. And I just looked back at that chair and you know, she's sitting there and I said, I'm going to miss you, chair. You know, we done got acquainted for those few hours. But you know, sometimes we can find some good in everything that happens. And oh, you know, God's building character in us. God wants us to have some quality in our life. God wants us to be identified by something else other than the bad habits and all these things that the world are doing. By God, we ought to have enough identity of Jesus and know Him enough that praise God, we ought to know by now what He can do for us. Yes. Hallelujah. We're serving a wonderful God. You know, we when Abraham was done, God was there for him. You can go home and read that story. We get character through the sufferings of this present time. Through suffering. You see, when we suffer, you know, we shouldn't suffer alone. But you know, we realize that Jesus is with us. Paul said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. That sounds pretty positive, doesn't it? That we've got a positive virtue and we can rejoice. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But you know that song that we sang at the opening of service, Because He Lives. You know, God holds our future. If you belong to Him, you know, your tomorrows belong to Him as well. And you know, He holds your tomorrows. Live for the day and don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Make it through today. You know, but Paul goes on as he's writing to the Romans. He said, not only so are we rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God, but he said, but we glory or we rejoice in tribulations, in problems, in tests, in trials. He said, we do this also. And he said, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience. What are problems? You know, problems are simply opportunities to grow. For us to grow and increase in the strength of the Lord. And it's an opportunity for God to move in our life. And he said, you know, we glory in these things. And we know that this tribulation worketh or produces patience. Patience isn't simply that we sit down and you know, we just are quiet and easy. But patience is the ability to endure when things come our way. We all need that. And you know, the more that we go through, the stronger that we get. You know, I watch a lot of these people going in and out when they're taking Sister Bear in there for her therapy. She says her leg, since they did this, she says it feels like a ton of lead. And it's just so heavy. And the therapist said the reason for that is says when they do that kind of surgery and it's so much trauma that your brain actually shuts down to your leg. And they have to go in and do that therapy and work it and get it going and get everything connected and build it up again. But it doesn't happen overnight. It's time and over again. And every time they bend it, it's painful and it's hurting. And you know, sometimes when God bends us, it might hurt, but the reason He's bending us is to make us stronger so that we can stand on our own two feet and make it through this life the way that God intends us to do. You see, it might hurt you at times. But all you know, Paul said, we're going to glory in tribulations. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we ought to look when things happen. And you know, the Bible said, think it not strange concerning this fiery trial. Some things that happens all of a sudden. And anybody ever have just bad days all day long? Huh? Aren't you glad that, you know, when they come, they go. And praise God that, you know, the next day sometimes is a whole lot better. But you know, we need to be able to look past what we are going through. And somehow, we don't know the outcome of what God's going to do in our life. But maybe we can have just a little bit of sense of what's going to happen. And we can maybe sense that when this is all over, and when this problem that I'm facing is through, I'm going to be a stronger person. My whole image, my whole character is going to change. And when people look at me, they're going to see a different person. They, you know, they might see the same old face and they might see the same individual, but they see somebody that's a little stronger. And you know, this is why God allows suffering in our life to build us up, to make us what He wants us to be. Don't complain about what happens. My Lord, you know, that's what happened down in Egypt. Those people complained coming through the wilderness. And, you know, they grumbled and complained to God. Got angry with them and said, you're not going to make it to the promised land. I want to make it over there, don't you? And praise God, when things happen, just sit back and take it patiently. And say, Lord, I know it's going to get better. If you got to find something like we were counting the drops on the IV, just find something to do and occupy your mind with other than sitting there and dwelling on the problem you're having. Hallelujah. There is a better way. You know, we make it through the sufferings of this present time. You know, James said this. He said, my brethren, he said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And he means trials here. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or produces patience. That ability to stand up a little bit stronger the next time. He said, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, complete, lacking nothing in your life. You see, this is character building. This is the way God builds us. And this is what God is looking for in our life. He's looking for integrity in our lives. He's looking, you know, when old Job went through all of the things that he went through, he held on to God and he kept his integrity. You know, that's what we need to do. Character is developed by and through temptation. The temptations that we go through. You know, Jesus went into the wilderness. And I'll finish with this. And when he got into the wilderness, the Bible said he was there and he was tempted of the devil 40 days. But you know, sometimes we fail to read all that the verses of Scripture say. Jesus, the Bible said, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And when you read that verse in Mark chapter 1 and 12, the Spirit is God's Spirit. Sometimes God's Spirit leads us into things that we come out stronger. And says, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, or tempted by Satan, however you want to put it. And was with the wild beasts. Nobody else was with him. But listen, you know, but God did something while he was there. You know, God sent the angels. At some point as he was there, God sent the angels to minister unto him. Angels are those unseen beings that are here tonight. There's angels here tonight. You can't see them, you know, because they are part of that invisible realm. But they are here tonight. And you know, when you go home, there's angels there to watch over you when you lay down at night. Lay down your head on your pillow and know that God's looking out for you and get a good night's sleep. You know, there's angels. And we ought to ask God to send His angels to our families and keep His hand upon them through these angels. And this is what one writer said. Said, temptation is bad for us only when we give in. That's when temptation becomes bad. Said we should not hate or resent the times of inner testing. You know, when you're tempted, it's, you know, sometimes it's because we're drawn away of our own flesh and our own desires and we're enticed. But you know, the ability to be stronger in the inner man, to resist those things, makes you a person in the Lord that we can resist temptation. Temptation isn't always the temptation to smoke or drink or cuss. But it might be the temptation to allow evil in our hearts, to hate and be jealous and envious, to change our attitudes. You know, these are temptations that we need to be wary of. And we need to say, God, help me to be the character, the person, the individual that You want me to be. Sometimes we set our priorities according to what we want to be. And we ought to just live our life every day and let God mold us into what He wants. We ought to look to Jesus. And every day we ought to say, Lord, how can I be more like You in my life today? How can I have this integrity? How can I add the quality that You want in my life? How can I be identified more with You? And you know, these things that He wants in our life. How can I have the personality that when others look and, you know, that it's a personality that would draw people to you and not drive them away. You see, these are things that are important in our life. And you know, because he says that this inner testing, because through them God can strengthen our character and teach us valuable lessons. I want to finish with one verse of Scripture.
James said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised them that love him." Sister Kelly, would you come? As I was looking at this, I thought, it's not a time to lash out in anger when temptation comes. Neither is it a time to doubt the promises and the Word of God. But we should consider it to be a time of character building in our lives. And you know, when temptations comes and sufferings and these things come, we ought to consider it that it's a personal blessing from God Himself. And you know, it's a time when God is touching our lives to build us to be better Christians. God wants us to be better. God wants us to do better. I want to read you one thing here. It's called The Christian Fronts. And you can stand if you'd like tonight. Talks about a young doctor. So the young doctor said a terrible thing a few years ago to somebody who was talking to him about accepting Christ. He remarked and he said, "I think I might have become a Christian if I had not met so many people who said they were." He said, "The tragedy is that so often our lives deny our profession, our low standards, our compromises, our bickerings, our impatience, our irritability, our ill temper, our selfishness." It says it belies our profession. It said we need to pray, "Create in me a clean heart." Charles Spurgeon once said, "Some Christians are like Jerry-built houses. They are Queen Anne in the front and Mary Anne at the back." No, they're big fronts and the backs, you know, just a show. The best translation. Four clergymen were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. Now listen to this, and I'll finish with this. One liked the King James Version because of its simple, beautiful English. Another minister liked the American Revised Version best because it's the most literal and says comes nearer to the original Hebrew and Greek. Still another liked Moffat's translation because of its up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister was silent. Finally, he said, "I like my mother's translation best." He said, "She translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw." You know, our character does matter. Who we are matters. We belong to Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for us. And we ought to do our very best to live up to the standard that God wants us to be. We ought to make every effort. At times we ought to admit our failures so that we can improve in our life. You know, every one of us needs to look at our life. And every one of us at times needs to admit, "Lord, I failed you. I failed you, Lord. I failed to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is. I failed to make that a pursuit in my life. But Lord, would you forgive me?" And I know that God will. He forgives us of all of our sins. And you say, "Lord, would you help me to be a better Christian?" And if you'll put that effort forth, Jesus will take you by the hand. And He'll take you up higher and higher in the Lord than you've ever been in all of your life. You can be the bright light shining in this dark world that He wants you to be. You can be a beacon, praise God, that others can see. You know, we don't have to stand physically tall. As long as we stand tall in Jesus. That's what's important tonight. Standing tall in the Lord. Would you come? Would you come? Just gather around the altar. Whatever your need is tonight, just bring it to the Lord. And Lord, help us to set some goals in our life. Help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus in all that we do and all that we say. Holy God, we praise You.